Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from WAFB News out in Baton Rouge. Been doing this a few years, Jacques Doucet. Jacques, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, partner? Man, LSU always keep you busy.
I tell you what, Mike, I came in from Sacramento, California last night, finally, from the buzzer beater that knocked the Tigers, the Lady Tigers, out of the tournament, and to a Will Wade press conference today. So, yeah, it's never boring in Baton Rouge.
Hey, Sacramento's nice, isn't it?
It is, man. Nice city for as big as it is, real kind of quiet. The state capitol was beautiful. Nice trees, green everywhere as springtime, a river through the city. I enjoyed my stay there. I really did.
Yeah, it's a little bit different from Southern California in a lot of ways, and it's not as crowded either. But I'm glad you had a good time there, other than, man, that shot that rolled around the rim. What a way to lose it. And, you know, Coach Mulkey, you know, because she's been through this so many times. But, man, for Flage to end it like that, Jacques, that's terrible. I would just soon get beat by 15 points than lose like that.
Well, I guess the basketball gods paid back the Duke men's team for their women's team winning on that buzzer beater Friday the way they lost. But, yeah, to your point, man, I know LSU wasn't playing in Baton Rouge with 10,000, 11,000 fans behind them, and I know the competition was stiffer. But the team we saw in Baton Rouge, they just did not get up and running in Sacramento. Erased the 10-point lead, I think, with 4 minutes left, took the lead. And then, you know, Duke got a shot. It bounced out of bounds with 2 seconds left. LSU could have got the rebound, won the game. But Duke got one last look. Flage was guarding the girl pretty tight. And like you said, the ball rolled around the rim three times, it appeared, before it finally went down and ended LSU season there.
And, you know, throwing it to Will Wade now and the success he had at LSU. And I've always told him this. He was a good to very good coach there and had good to very good teams there at LSU. But there was always an excitement around him because he's a lightning rod for everything. And that's just his personality, the way he is. And that is never going to change with him the way it is. How quickly, Jacques, and again, we got corrected. I think my good friend Mark Cook, NBA scout, who actually was in Thibodaux that day that, you know, we have every year when McNeese would play Nicholls State, and he would come meet with Coach Wade and Coach Troyer, the athletic director, was there, and Roos and everybody else. But the transfer portal actually starts Tuesday after the championship game. We talked about it Monday. Maybe for Coach Wade, it starts Monday.
Right.
He's got that one-day jump on things. But how quickly, Jacques, do you think Will can come in here and turn this team around, which has really not been very good the last couple years?
Well, Mike, I think the good thing about it is that his first go-around, he put an NCAA product on the floor after his first year every year. And there was COVID that canceled a tournament. And then he only coached in one of the tournaments because he was either suspended or he got fired. All that's in the past now. So he's starting anew. There's no off-the-court stuff at the moment that's hanging over LSU's head. He can hit the ground running next week. One of the biggest shocking things, I think, to many of us in Louisiana since Brian Kelly got fired in late October is how much money is in Louisiana. I don't know who's funding all this stuff. I don't know where it's coming from as far as the buyouts, the hiring of the coaches, the paying of the players. But I would think that Will Wade on April the 8th, when the portal's open, and all these coaches have been talking to players or found ways to talk to players before that thing's going to open. They know who they're zeroing in on. I would think that, you know, they're going to go after her and land the players, as he said at his press conference today. It's the horse, not the jockey. You got to have talent to win. LSU's been lacking of that the last 4 years. You know, Matt McMahon, did he ever have a chance? Was he a good coach or not? I don't know. He obviously didn't win enough games and they needed to make a change. But, you know, Will is very, you know, he hit all the right notes today. He had the Will Brigade excited. Certainly one of the most controversial fires in LSU history. A lot of people thought they should have stuck by him. Some people thought they shouldn't have, but he's back. And like some of the fans say, everything that was illegal then is legal now. So he can go out and pay for for players legally.
Okay, he wasn't Scott Woodward's guy. That was part of it. They got a head coach that was like that too. But again, yeah. But if you want to know about money, ask your dad. They got people that lie about their money in the state of Louisiana. They lie about what they got and what they, and people that got it lie about they don't have anything. Your dad could tell you. They got stories of people, especially people a certain age. Man, what? I ain't got no money. What money? I'm living, you know, kind of, you know, month to month, week to week. And come on, they got oodles of money. But they smart about how they protect it too, and they don't tell you about it. A little bit younger generation, they want to show you kind of the money that they have. When you look at it totally here with Will, I think one of the things he gets underrated for, and I was telling this to Charlie, is how good of a talent evaluator he is. I've always felt, now I've told him this, I think his greatest trait as a coach is how good of a talent evaluator he is. Chuck, you've been doing this a while, and you've been around coaches. Some of them are really good at it. Some of them aren't, and they let assistants kind of deal with the talent evaluation. All they want to do is sort of close the deal. The one thing with Will Wade, he wants to be, as he put it, I won't be the head coach, I'll be the general manager, but he is the chief talent evaluator at LSU for basketball.
Yeah, and that might be bad news to my guy Ronald Dupree, who was the general manager, so to speak, and never really got a chance to do his job. I mean, I think when he got hired last year, the roster was already determined, and he was at the press conference today. But, yeah, Will said, I am the GM, I am the head coach. I think that, you know, there's a lot of similarities. I'm not breaking any news here between him and Lane Kiffin in terms of work ethic, assembling a roster, working around the clock. Will's also very good at scheduling. He will schedule teams that you look at on paper. You don't know their name. You don't think they're a big name school, but at the end of the year, they're better than you think, and they help your NCAA resume. He was always really good at that. And at LSU, like Dale Brown, you need somebody who is going to have a personality and do a little bit extra to get the fans in the building. And throughout his career at LSU, the first go-around, the building was packed on a pretty regular basis. Certainly when you got into SEC play on those Saturday games, weekend games, he did that. And so, you know, you got a polarizing group, Mike. I mean, I'm not breaking any news. Tim Mulkey, Lane Kiffin, and, you know, Will Wade. They are not liked by a lot of people outside the state of Louisiana. But if LSU wins, the fans won't care. Hey, bring on the hate.
Yeah, Tim Brando says it best. And, you know, Tim's from Shreveport. But we let him pass as a Louisiana guy because always sees him, man, come on, you're more of a Texan than you are Louisiana. He's like, come on, Mike. I was born in Louisiana. You know that. I was like, I got you. But it's different here. And, you know, and that's been part of Lane Kiffin's genre, too. Hey, it's different. We have a certain culture, a certain way of doing things, a certain way of thinking. Doesn't have to be right for everybody, but it's all Louisiana. And if you're not from here or don't understand the people here, you don't quite get it.
Well, and I think, you know, Brian Kelly, if he would have won more games, he'd still be here. That winning is the bottom line, but I think that just really turned off a lot of people. You know, when he started his radio show at TJ Ribs, and you couldn't walk up to him during the commercial break and get an autograph or take a picture. They used to do something called the Tiger Tour, where the coach would go around to different cities in the state and meet fans. He didn't do that. He just wasn't interested in getting to know fans or engage in it. And Kiffin is doing the exact opposite. He's going to Mardi Gras parades, St. Patrick's Day parades. He's walking on stage with Boosie the rapper. He's doing everything. You know, here's your LSU coach wearing jerseys with a hat on backwards, you know, and but also saying, hey, don't get it twisted. I'm going out and I'm doing things in the community and I'm engaging, but we have a relentless pursuit to win here. And, you know, 10 years younger than Kelly, and certainly it looks like more energetic and definitely got a thirst to recruit and go out and get players. You know, Sam Levitt, he chased that guy all around the country before he got him signed. So, it's a change, and we are different. We are special. And it takes a while for coaches to learn that. I think, you know, even Ed Ogeron, Mike, I mean, everyone says that you know, Ed Orgeron, perfect fit, Louisiana. I'm like, well, you ever been to Baton Rouge? It's not exactly, you know, Cajun. You know, they're not really into Cajun.
It ain't down the bayou.
Yeah, it's different here, you know. So anyway, I think it takes a while for a lot of coaches to get used to it, but if you win, that's the ultimate fitting in.
You know, Jacques, circling back around to what you had mentioned right off the bat with this interview, it's not going to slow down either. As Mike mentioned, April 7th is when the portal opens for basketball, the day after the national championship game. We got that wrong. Coach Wade had said it in his presser. I guess it's because he's going to start getting to work on building this roster on that Monday. So he's going to be sleeping tirelessly just trying to get that roster built for 2026-2027. If you read between the lines about what he said at his time at NC State, it felt like there's a lot of maybe unkept promises between him and the administration about the funds that he would get to build that roster for the ACC in 2026. And maybe it's a lot more confidence with the guys that he's worked with before, with Wade Roos, with Coach Troyer, you know, just to give him what he needs to be successful in the SEC in year one. Because that was the prevailing sentiment throughout the press conference, is that we're going to win. We're going to win quick. We're going to win big, right? We're going to get back to the NCAA tournament. LSU will be back basically where they should be and where they belong, is effectively what he said, especially in that kind of opening statement. So your thoughts on the funds that LSU can allow Coach Wade to go out in the portal and pay these players to come in this new pay-for-play model to be successful and be competitive right off the bat in the SEC?
Yeah, well, we talked to Verge, and Verge Allsbury, the AD, and others. He's Schroyer, a guy who's kind of, I don't want to say come out of nowhere, but suddenly is a prominent pick here in LSU athletics, being hired to the guy that Will Wade reports to. You know, Verge is, you know, the athletic director. There's some interesting dynamics going on right now with all of that. I think they feel confident. I think that in Will Wade's first time around, there were some questions. You know, he said it himself. I wake up every day. I got two teams to play. The team I'm playing tonight in LSU, you know, and he said something. We got something called Tiger Time. You know, it takes, are we going to get this done this week? Or are we working on Tiger Time? Meaning, you know, things work slowly. So he said he would not come to LSU the second time around if they were not invested into men's basketball. And I think a lot of fans over the years have said LSU doesn't care about men's basketball. And it really is only one of two revenue-producing sports. Obviously, football makes a huge lion's share of the money. And then basketball, despite them being atrocious, is still clearing $2.5 million a year. Just imagine if you start putting 10, 11, 12,000 people in there, how much money, much more money you could be making. So I think, look, with football, they put over $40 million into that roster. The coaching staff, analyst after analyst, somebody there told me that works there. We're running out of room in football ops for analysts and coaches. We don't have any more room to put people in terms of offices and whatnot. So I guess how much money is left over for basketball and to pursue a roster? It's different. It's not what it used to be when I was growing up, when you rooted for Ricky Blanton, and even 20 years ago when you had a Daryl Mitchell and guys that would play there 3-4 years. If you get good players, they're going to pop in for a year, and they're going to leave, and you hope to win. I don't like the model, but that's what the model is. And so, you know, Naz Reid, he was here 1 year. He's gone. You know, Cavell, Bigby Williams, guys like that he won with in the past. That's what you need to get it done.
A little bit about Coach Mulkey. And, man, that was a firestorm. I got 3 or 4 people texting me about, is Coach Mulkey going to retire? And I'm like, well, not that I know of. Why? And, oh, man, they got a couple of sites. I was like, okay, tell me who posted that. Because this was real early. This was late last year. Right before the season started, we had her on. And she's been sort of a semi-regular with us. And when I asked her about, you know, you get a certain age, because it happened to me too, and I retired for a little while, but I was so bored, it drove me nuts. You know, and so I got the position over here. But, you know, Kim was like, Mike, how long did you stay retired? I'm not ready for retirement. You know, I still have a lot of fire to go with it. You've been around her a lot. And, you know, we kind of know where those reports came from. But she's still got a lot of fire in the belly to coach. And her ability to recruit, and she's got to redo her staff a little bit. But your thoughts on Kim Mulkey, even though it ended the way it did. And I thought this was a talented team, not an experienced team, as she has always talked about. Those have been my best teams, the most experienced ones. Your thoughts on Coach Mulkey, and you know, I think most of that all kind of went down in flames about her leaving LSU.
Well, and look, I am not media police. I don't, you know, go out and make posts about other media. But these guys or whatever, it's not media. The accounts that tweeted this stuff, if you go to them, it's obvious it's an AI generated photo. And one guy was named Tyler Daigle, and the other name is an A-Bear. I think Christopher A-Bear. I think somebody joked they put T-Bob into an AI-generated photo and tried to make somebody look like T-Bob.
You know? He's too skinny for T-Bob.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Maybe so. But the thing is, nobody has ever seen these, in air quotes, people at a press conference, at a game, at a practice. They've never applied for a credential. The thing that they represent is called BS LSU Mike. I mean, and a national reporter, because he sees that online, asked Kim Mulkey in a pretty significant press conference just after she's lost to Duke if she's going to retire or not because of this. And so it's kind of like Wizard of Oz, Mike. It's a real person behind a curtain who's created something, but then is hiding, and then will have no accountability. Nobody can put a thumb on this person to say, hey, you ran something that's totally untrue, you know? But then if he gets 3 out of 10 right, he thinks he's a baseball player and is going to the Hall of Fame, going to talk about the 3 things he got right, not the 7 he didn't get right. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, he ain't Ted Williams with the bat.
It just ticks me off a little bit. And just remove me from the equation. What about all the other people that work hard and go to every game press conference and this guy, whoever this is? Anyway, yeah, she's not retiring. I mean, she was pretty adamant about that after the game. I think she's going to be 64.
Yes, she'll be 64.
May.
Yes.
You know, Kim says she's never had a drink before. I think if you give her a couple shots of whiskey, maybe she would say that she's not crazy about the, you know, NIL and the portal and all that stuff. I think that has really kind of made it more difficult for coaches like her. But I think because she's such a Hall of Fame, you know, great coach, that players still gravitate toward her. I think it's refreshing. I talked to Bella Hines' dad in Sacramento. He goes, this generation needs a swift kick in the butt here and there, and we're all for it. And so there's a lot of players still that want to be coached hard, and that's a good thing. And I think what they need, Mike, they just need a dog in the post. They've got everything else. If everyone comes back, if they have Mikayla Williams, Malaysia Fulwiley, Jada Richard, the freshmen, like, that'll be sophomores, Grace Knox, Zakiya Johnson, I love her. I think she's great. They need a dog in the post to get the rebound that got away against Duke. And I think they've got a shot to go further than they went this year. But, March Madness, so many breaks, Mike. The year they won the national title, they played Utah in the Sweet 16. The girl airballs her first free throw for Utah, and LSU somehow wins the game. And couldn't hit a three-pointer the whole run, Mike. And then in against Iowa and Caitlin Clark, Jasmine Carson goes 7 for 7 from behind the arc in the first half. Things just fell. All came together that day.
Yeah. One quick question about Coach Kiffin and what you've seen the difference here. One of the things in talking to everybody about this is, one, the pace of the offense is really going to be fast paced, which also puts a lot of pressure on your defense to kind of keep up. Because, man, they're going to be dog tired those first couple of days, because I know the method in his madness to try to keep you from substituting and trying to get up to the line of scrimmage real quick, take that snap, try to catch you off guard and get a mismatch downfield. Also, too, and you can't tell it in pajamas and slippers, but this team has got to be a more physical football team up front along the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike, your first game, you're playing in Tiger Stadium. I don't care if it's at night or what it is. September the 5th, you're going to be sweating bullets. It's going to be hot. It's going to be steamy. And your conditioning is obviously very important. And what you said about the offense and your defense on the field and so forth, I think that's all important. I'm still, even though I've said these guys' names on the air and everything, I mean, they've got 60 new players. It's going to take me a while to learn everyone's name and so forth. But it looks like all the receivers they got out of the portal, I think they've got a large number of them who average more than 15, 16, 17 yards per catch. So it looks like, you know, they got guys to stretch the field, which they thought they had last year. going into the year. Problem was your quarterback was playing with an injury and couldn't throw the ball down the field, so that totally got neutralized. So hopefully, you know, Sam Levis is going to be healthy and can let it rip and stretch the defense. And you know, you got your two veteran running backs back as well, and Harlan Berry and Caden Durham, and you've added some other guys out of the portal. So I think with Lane Kiffin running the offense, you feel good about that. And then on the other side with Blake Baker running your defense, you feel like you got one of the best defensive minds in the country and a lot of other good additions. So, and certainly, Mike, it's a very exciting – it's the most exciting schedule I've seen in a while. It's also one of the most challenging. You know, you got Auburn back on the schedule. I always like going to Auburn. I didn't like it when that game went away. You go to Kentucky, that's a nice place to go. But then, you know, back-to-back home games against Alabama and Texas, are you kidding me? I mean, two of the biggest brand names in college football late in the year. You got two trips where you might be freezing at Tennessee and Arkansas. So I think fans are getting what they pay for sure this year with the home schedule, who's come to Tiger Stadium, who you're playing, and I think there'll still be some rental wins here and there on the schedule, but I think you know, the general public is pushing back more and more on that. But at the same time, LSU is like, hey, we got to play 9 SEC games. We don't need to be playing you know, a big name team like Clemson to start the year. So those games kind of may go away.
And then, Jock, before we let you run, obviously it's a very busy time, but this past weekend for LSU baseball at the Box, where you lose the weekend series to Oklahoma, you lose game one against Kentucky, a top 25 ranked team coming to Baton Rouge, and then all of a sudden you find yourself at 2-6 in SEC play. Then you have an awesome performance on the mound by two pitchers with Zach Howen and William Schmidt. You blank Kentucky in game two, but then game three comes around. You're down 7-0 early on, and then the offense just erupts. And how big this weekend series was for LSU to get back on track, because you can't, like, you just can't lose two back-to-back weekend series at home in SEC play. You have two weekend series coming up on the road, starting with Tennessee this upcoming weekend. But just like going from being 2-6 in SEC play and staring down the barrel of a third straight SEC series loss to then picking up that series victory 4-5, it's a completely different story.
Yeah, I look forward to, you know, watching the team a lot more closely now and getting into it now that the women's basketball season and my travels and all that are complete. But that, there's no doubt. I mean, just watching that game yesterday, kind of sporadically on the flight home, they fell behind 6-0 or 7-0, like you said. Gavin Guidry, real rough outing out there. The next thing I know, Seth Dardars hit a home run, throwing his bat so high I think it went out of the stadium.
Right.
And then Jay Johnson and the Kentucky coach or pitching coach are getting at it. They're shouting at each other. It's high. The tension was very high there, and then LSU comes back and wins. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, when you get back-to-back SEC series at home, to lose them both I think would be rough. I think that certainly, as Skip Bourbon used to say, you want to have a decent idea who you are and where you're going on tax day, April 15th. And so, you know, I think LSU fans, the more knowledgeable, more calm ones, you know, they don't freak out too bad. But obviously LSU has played not a really tough non-conference schedule and lost way too many games. So it'll be very interesting to see over these next couple of months if they can get it together, if they can be an NCAA host site, one of the top 16, a top 8 national seed. That's going to be tough to do, but you know, we'll see what happens there. But I believe outside of 1989, when they went to Texas A&M and shocked the world, I don't think LSU's ever been into Omaha where the path didn't run through Elliott Box Stadium. It's just they need to be at home to go to Omaha unless they're going to make some history here. But yeah, good weekend for the Tigers. So we at least win 2 of 3, and then tomorrow night, a little Baton Rouge battle, always a special time when LSU and the Southern Jags get on the diamond, and they'll play at Elliott Box.
Jacques, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate it, bud. Hey, get your Will Wade impersonation you know, up to snuff now.
Hey, Mike, Will Wade here. Listen, hey, we're going to win. We're going to get it done, okay? We're going to win right away. I see a lot of familiar faces here today.
Hey, yes, hey, you're doing good, Jock. You're doing a good job. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Okay. Enjoyed it.
All right, thank you. Jock Doucet runs things, WAFB News Sports in Baton Rouge, and man, he got some great impersonations. Will's kind of on the lower edge of things. Boy, he can do a Skip Bertman, a Paul Maneri, Jay Johnson. Unbelievable. He got them guys down pat. Like, he's like, Mike, I got to tip my hat. You do the better Coach O than me, but other than that, I got you.